Hey, good morning, everybody. I just want to thank everyone for coming to the technical session three, mine planning and development this morning. My name is Brandon Williamson with John T. Boyd Company. I'll be the chair for this session this morning. So if everybody have a seat, and we'll get started here. Our first presentation is the Monster Wall. It's being presented by the guys from CONSOL Energy, CNXC. We have Chris Pop, mine production shift manager at Enlow Fork Mine. He has 12 years of mining experience from low-coal operations to longwall mining operations, and is a graduate of Penn State University with an associate's in mining technology. We also have Jamie Wilson, longwall shift maintenance manager. Jamie's lead shift maintenance foreman at Bailey, and he's been in this position for approximately 2 years. He's a proud father of two kids, Ralston and Evelyn. Did I say that right?
Evan.
I'm sorry. And he's expecting a third child in August. He's been in the coal mining industry for 10 years and is a graduate of Penn State University with an associate's in mining technology. And we also have Andrew Yakubowski, a longwall shift foreman at Enlow Fork Mine. Andrew's 11 years underground experience and a graduate of Indiana University, Pennsylvania, with a bachelor's degree in criminology and pre-law. And he also has an associate's degree in mining engineering from Penn State. He's obtained his assistant mine foreman's papers and EMT certification, and he's currently at the Enlow Fork Mine Pleasant Grove portal. So I'm not sure who's going to start it off here, but you guys, welcome.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good.
You hear me good back there? Good. Well, thanks for coming out with the parade and all. I'm surprised we got this many attendants, so that's pretty cool. Welcome to Monster Wall. I'm Andy Yakubowski, as the presenter said. Coal mining world is a fast-paced, cutthroat, heavily regulated industry. In order for companies to survive, they must continue to reinvent themselves. And that's really what today's presentation is about. It's about evolution. It's about looking to see into the future. It's about vision and progressing to new possibilities in the industry. I apologize for my voice. Working midnight shift this week as a longwall section foreman, I tend to yell at my guys a lot, so increases production. Before we look into the future, you have to look at the past. And in the past, first longwalls we had were only 30 feet wide. There were guys with picks, shovels, wooden posts. That's probably like my fifth generation ancestor from like England, like 400 and some years ago. And then today, you see on the right, you got today's longwall systems with shields, shear, capable of producing massive amounts of coal. Longwall U.S. production today. As we pretty much all well know here, longwall production is the number one method of underground coal mining. It accounts for 50% of underground coal mine today. And today, it's probably a lot more than that even with the hits to the market we had recently. Longwall, it's the only way to go underground. It's highly productive. You're like 3,500 tons an hour. Return on your investment. Get a lot of money, a lot of return for your money. High recovery rates, you can cut where you want to because of the shields and the shear. So your high recovery rate's like 80-90%. At CNXC, we have three coal mines, Harvey, Enlow, and Bailey. The first Bailey complex back in the 90s was 600 feet wide. Then we widened the faces to 750. Eventually, we went to 1,100 feet in the early 2000s. And now we run 1,500 to 1,600 foot wide faces at some of our premier longwalls. So right there, you see a picture of the longwall shields. That's the gob area down there to your to the bottom right. And then that's the big block of coal we're going after. And you can see the shear as it cuts down the face there. Here's our fine state of Pennsylvania, showing our locations of our coal mines for CNXC, Enlow Fork, Harvey, and Bailey Mine. All three mines run to the same prep plant. Enlow Fork has currently three longwall mines. Harvey has one, and I believe Bailey has two longwall mines. So that's, you know, a total of six longwall mines going to the same prep plant. And today, publicly, first non-academic presentation, I'd like to proudly introduce to you Monster Wall, 2,000 feet, 2-meter-wide shield face. Little video here for you. Technical difficulties, check 1, 2. There's some sound of this that's very intense. I promise you. Here, let me start it over. It'll be more dramatic. Like I said, proud to introduce first time Monster Wall. Monster Wall is, like I said, 2,000 feet wide, comprised of 2-meter shields. That's about 300 shields. Now, Monster Wall, 50 blocks of development, is 6 million clean tons of coal once it's set up. We designed the system based off CAT shields. I personally use CAT shields and find them to be very, very excellent. And with the technology of CAT shields today, they'd be able to get the job done. Monster Wall produces tons at 3,000 tons per hour. And the conveyor runs at 39 feet to the tail and 33 feet to the head. It's just a steady black river of coal. As you can tell, I like coal a lot. Big coal guy.
All right, people. A 2,000-foot long wall face, huh? So who didn't see that one coming? Well, 2,000 feet, what does that get you? 33% more coal in a single long wall panel. That's taken if you have a 1,500-foot wide face as it is. So 33% more coal. If you're averaging 4.5 million tons in a single panel, you're now at 6 million tons. Just remember, that's longer the time that shear is cutting coal before it's turning around, and less longwall moves. So next, let's talk about the why. That's the most often asked question to myself. Why? Why 2,000 feet? Well, is it any different from going from 700 to 1,100, 1,100 to 1,500? No, it's all about staying efficient. So every 3 2,000-foot long wall panels, you lose one entire 1,500-foot face. That's one less gate section you have to develop, one less long wall move. So as we said before, that just helps us to be more efficient, compete with natural gas, lower cost per ton. District sizes. District sizes are now coming into contention. So let's say if you're only allowed 6 panels in one district, out of those 6 panels, 2,000 foot wide, guess what? You gain an extra 2 1,500-foot faces in the same district. Another benefit you gain is spreading the cost of that tailgate entry, the tailgate section, and that bleeder fan. So for instance, if you're going from 27 million tons in that district, you now spread those costs across 36 million tons. Again, this is why we stretched our faces in the first place. So let's talk about those gate sections. That's over at least $6 million. At least $6 million every 3 years for that section. And when we get to the next slide, it'll only be an extra $92,000 to go from 1,500 to 2,000 foot wide. So what's it take? To longwall face, obviously you only have 500 additional feet across your longwall face and your bleeder entries. So what's that take you at 70 feet a shift at a three entry bleeder system longwall face? That's 8 days of mining. That's a small cost. Versus if you want the 33% with your additional 1,500 foot face, that's another 4,000 feet in advancement in the length of your longwall. 4,000 feet versus another, 1,500, 2,000 foot across the back end. To me, that's a small bridge to gap whenever you're going for 33% more product. Yes, it is easy to mine another 500 feet across the longwall face and add up the shields, add extra shields and pan, but can it work from a technical view? And I think you'll be surprised what our next speaker has to say about it. James?
First, we're going to look at the Kamaut pump station. At Bailey Mine, we currently run a four pump system, but we only run three at one time. With adding an additional 500 foot of face, we're losing probably about 150 to 200 pounds of pressure at the tailgate. One way we can counter this is to add a ring main at mid face to give you more flow down the face to help push those shields. We can also run all four pumps at one time. It's just a programming issue. I don't see any problems with that. The armored face chain is one of the big things that would have to change. We'd go from a 48 millimeter chain up to a 56 millimeter chain. This is going to add approximately 1,600 flights and add 22 tons of weight for the drives to pull. At one time, everybody thought 48 millimeter chain was too big. You know, what's another step? You know, why not? We got to try it. What's gonna push this chain? Getting with some people at CAT, the CST65s will not work anymore. They're just going to be too small to drive that extra 500 foot in the bigger chain. We'd have to go to a CST115. As you can see, the boxes. Roughly about 10 inches taller. To me, being on the maintenance side of things, why can't they cut 10 more inches higher? That's nothing, I mean, just 10 inches. I mean, they are about double the weight, so that does cause an issue for us. We'd have to tear the drives down more and assemble them more underground, which I'm sure we could do. If production people present it to us, we always find a way to try to get it done. Here's the proof in the pudding. Here's the horsepower calculations. The three motors we currently run are 1,900 horsepower motors on the face. We would have to jump up to three 2,600 horsepower motors, and we're running from the head to the tail at 39 feet a minute and from the tail to the head at 33 feet a minute. The face length 2,000, total mining height, all that's good. The total applied power is 7,800 horsepower. At full load, running from tail to head with the face fully loaded, you're looking at about 7,600 horsepower total. That gives you about 5% horsepower reserve. The two meter shields, we currently run 1.75s. 2 meter shield is proven in the Pittsburgh 8 seam. Cumberland Mine has these in their mine. Looking at the shields, they are going to be heavier. They're like 28.8 tons a piece. We're going to have to buy 650 scoops. That's going to add more cost, but we can counter that with the less moves that we're gaining by stretching it out. Here's the main reason. Can it be done? At first, when we started this project, we thought this isn't going to work. There's no way this is going to work. We have to up our voltage. 12-470 is not going to work for stretching another 500 feet. After talking with a few people in the classrooms and everything, we can actually do this. It's going to be a more advanced mining layout for our cabling systems. One side of a borehole will have to be strictly dedicated to just the longwall face. We currently run 350 MCM into the section. That would have to change to a 500 MCM cable all the way in. And then for the belt starter and to drive the belt, we could run a 350 MCM or possibly a 4-aught cable to keep our amperage down. At a full load, as you can see, a 500 MCM cable is, we can get about 630 amps out of it. At a 2,000-foot face, at full load, we're at a 544 amps. So there's room for 12,470. We didn't think it was possible, but the proof's right there. We can do it.
In conclusion, to sum up Monster Wall, like he said, last year we undertook this project. We had no idea if it was even going to be possible. By working with people like Tom Mack at CAT, Bill Powell, and we were able to get with the engineers there and put our heads together. I told Jamie, I said, make it happen, make it work. I believe he did it. You get 33% longwall coal per panel. Like you said, fewer longwall moves. I mean, the benefits of it is pretty outstanding. $6 million. If I could tell your company I can save you $6 million over the next 3 years, plus give you a year lead time on top of that, I mean, we'd kill for a week, just a week of lead time, let alone 4 months per year. That's pretty outstanding. VFDs are becoming more relevant, too. I know Jamie knows more about that, but there's like, he's our technical guy, as you can tell.
Some things that we could look at if power became an issue, we could go to VFD drives. That gives you a little bit more for your more bang for your buck and gives you more areas to work with.
So like I said, the feasibility of it is there. Somebody's going to do it. It's just a matter of who's going to make that leap. So that's pretty much it. It's definitely game-changing. I'd like to thank you all for coming out here, being a good crowd. Everyone seems pretty awake for Pennsylvania Town today for the parade and everything. Starts at 11, so I think it's like a block from here. Thanks for Al Heffern putting us together. Appreciate that. Tom Vihar, Tom Mack, CB Mining, Bill Weber, Bill Powell, Bob Lowry, couldn't make it. He's got work today. Dave Lowry for talking to him about the electrics. Chuck Shaynack in attendance. And Mike Smith. Stand up. I didn't know you were going to be here today. Two guys at CNXC. I work for these two goofballs here. And Jimmy Brock for everything he's done for us and giving us a day to come here today to talk to you guys. Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks. Does anybody have any questions for Andrew, Chris, or Jamie?
Keep them simple. So I have a question. So now the longwall gets to be 2,000 feet wide, so it's going to advance pretty slowly compared to what it does these days. Do you think the roof control in front of these shields and that would have any effect? Has you had any problems when you widened already? It steps out with the longwall going slower and slower and slower.
Is this mic on? Oh, it is good. Thank you. we thought about that, and I can't say that it would change or whatever, but having it come out slower, having been burning around 1,500 feet long one now for a little while, you could have some issues with that. They might have to increase the pillar sizes in development, which when you gain 4 months lead time per year, you'd have time to extend those blocks a little bit wider. but it's definitely an issue. That probably my biggest issue. We have talked with the engineer at Console. I won't mention his name just in case it gets tied to him in the future, but he did say that the stresses from 1,100-foot face to a 1,500-foot face, they didn't really see much difference. And actually, it falls better than what it should in 1,500-foot face because with the design of a longwall system, you want it to fall. When it stays up, that's when you really have all the issues. So 2,000-foot face, you might actually find that it falls a lot better. And if it's consistent with a 33 feet to the coming to the head, 39 to the tail, and you come out to a pretty good pace. We run pretty good.
On a side note, I don't recommend leaving the middle behind. So.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, definitely train your people. That's a key component.
Yeah, thank you very much for a very good presentation, very interesting topic. It wasn't clear to me exactly where you are in the planning phase. You've clearly done a lot of work and everything is there. Is the equipment ordered and installed and about to start, or is this going to happen next year?
This was just a presentation we had when we was at Penn State, and it was something we thought was a dream. You know, like nobody's going to do it, but it's nothing's ordered. We haven't ordered anything. The possibility's there. It was just like kind of a thing, like, can it be done? And yeah, the feasibility of it is what we were looking at.
Yeah, it's something you might see like in a year or two. Some, you know, could be our company, could be another company, could be your company. It sounds like you have a heavy Australian accent. Is that correct?
English?
Okay. So who knows?
So don't get me wrong. There's more involved into it than just, yeah, let's mine our 500 feet, buy more shields. And yes, we can make it run with our power system. But don't get me wrong. You have to look at your water pressures. If you're at the minimum, you're at the bare minimum right now, yes, you have to increase that. I mean, there's more into it than just that, air. But if you can maintain 700, 600, I believe another 500 feet wouldn't be much. But it's mostly an academic thing that we proved that it's actually more feasible than we originally thought. Like I said, it was a pipe dream first, and then lo and behold, it's not too far away, you don't feel, so.
Okay, any other questions out there?
Is this increase in the longwall width going to affect the change in the pillar design of the gate roads, and will it affect the stress distribution of the underground workings, and will it affect the subsidence on the surface, more damage to the surface?
This must be what the Pens feel like game six after the game a little bit. But, yeah, like we talked about, the stresses would be relatively the same as a 1,500-foot face. It's just 500 feet wider. As far as the surface goes, trough size would obviously increase because you're 500 feet wider. Your pillar sizes could have to increase to limit the stresses there. Thanks for your question, though.
The engineer, when I asked the engineer about that, he didn't exactly slam the door in my face, which I was expecting. So apparently it's not going to be overwhelming compared to what you normally would think. One of the first things you think is about stresses, additional stresses. So.
Okay, thanks, guys. Any other questions? All right, thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.